What is up, everybody, and welcome to the Get Your Bell Rung Football Podcast. He is Kevin Reynolds. I am Bobby Wall, and we are here to talk all things football and hit you with some takes that might rattle you up a bit. Tonight's show, not a whole lot on the news blotter, but we will definitely get into some of our incoming draft prospects. We're going to break down the running backs, the offensive linemen, and the tight end that we need to talk about. But first, Kevin, how you doing, bud?
Doing good. I got rid of my beard, as you can see.
Yes.
I had this thing growing underneath my beard, so I didn't like it, so I ripped it off.
Okay.
I got a little red mark. Other than that, man, I'm looking sharp.
I told you before, man, you look a lot better with the short beard.
Well, thank you. I'm a strapping young man. The one thing I didn't do this year is most winters I put on about 10 pounds, so when I have a little gobbler underneath when I first shave it off. But that didn't happen this year. I stayed at like about 162, 63 all winter long. So no gobbler to get rid of in the next month and a half or so.
I'm in trim. Good for you, buddy.
Thank you, friend.
So we always do our little top three kind of question at the beginning of the show. Well, I was going down memory lane the other day, thinking about some vehicles, some of my favorite vehicles that I have owned in my life.
Okay.
So what would you consider to be one, two, or three of your favorite vehicles that you have driven?
Driven or that I've owned?
No, you're right. Owned, yes.
My favorite is my current one, the 2024
really?
Jeep Grand Cherokee Altitude, which I sort of want to marry. I've only had it 3 months, as you know. But I am thoroughly as in love with it now as I was on December 5th.
Good for you guys.
After that, I had
a good marriage. Oh.
In college, at first at HCC, I had a little Pontiac Fiero 2M6.
Okay.
But I shattered that. Me and a friend of mine, Mr. Chad Baker, decided, because we were sort of young and stupid, for a month, we decided we were going to run red lights and stop signs.
Oh, my gosh.
I lost. And then after that, I had probably my first car. I had an old Plymouth Duster, 74 Plymouth Duster. That thing was sweet. I had it for about 2 years, so eventually it was just the engine was just not, it wasn't worth putting the money in it anymore. But I bought that with my paper out money that I'd saved for 4 years, and
awesome.
Thing was sweet. My godfather painted it like a really nice like candy apple red for my senior graduation gift. So it was pretty cool looking. I liked that thing. It had the big
nice.
Long what are the seats called? The big long one.
And the bench seats.
Yes, the big long bench seats in the front and back. So it was pretty cool vehicle. I missed that thing. How about you, buddy?
Probably number three, man. This is going to sound weird. I had this 2001 Dodge Neon. It was kind of free the way it worked out. It's a long story behind it, but it was a stick shift. So actually, almost every car I've had has been a stick shift. But I loved just the little gear shift and going through the gears, driving around. That car was just a fun little thing to drive.
Did I ever see that one? When did you get rid of
it? It was black. I don't know. Maybe right before we started.
Okay.
Maybe right before we met.
Gotcha.
Two on the list. When I was in high school and then into college, I had my great grandfather's 1986 and a half Nissan truck. It was like the king cab where the seats folded down from the sides in the back. And so like
So it was Nissan, not Datsun.
I think it was like very shortly after they made that switch. That was cool. Four-wheel drive. I could throw my canoe on the top. It had a cap on it. Whenever I'd move to and from college, I could just pack all my stuff in the truck.
What became of it?
Oh, dude, it was, man, 1986 and a half. It lasted probably 20 years. And it was, dude, there were times I didn't have brakes. I'd be pulling up the red light, and it had like the stick that you pulled for the emergency brake. So I knew the brake pedal didn't work, and I would just have to like gradually ease up that emergency brake handle so I could stop at stoplights.
Okay.
It was not the safest.
Sounds about as intelligent as my stop sign running.
My favorite though has got to be my motorcycle, 2008 Honda Shadow, man, black and chrome. Love that thing. But you have a kid and you realize, well, you don't go anywhere without your kid, and he certainly can't ride on the motorcycle with you. So I ended up selling it. It's tough to pull that trigger, but I don't know, maybe one day in the future, after the boys get a little older, maybe I'll get myself another one.
There you go, buddy.
All right, not a whole lot of news and notes. Some football players getting themselves in trouble. Rashee Rice has a warrant out for his arrest because of that, the racing and the wreck he got into driving his, what was it, like a Lamborghini
He
SUV, I
rented the
think.
Lamborghini for the day, and the Corvette that his buddy was driving, who he played with there, that Corvette was his also. So he's only driving one, obviously, but both
Is racing his own car.
racing against his own Corvette and a
That's...
Lamborghini that he was renting.
You know what you could do? I mean, you're an NFL player. You could just find a drag strip and be like, "Hey, here's $5,000. Let me drive my cars on this by themselves as fast as I want."
Apparently the Henry Ruggs incident did not register.
That is insane, man. I honestly,
They're
that
lucky because they could have killed it. They injured what, six people or six other cars or four other cars, six people, eight people. Luckily, none of them have died, or he'd be going to jail for a really long time.
some people have a level of stupidity that is impressive, honestly. T'Vondre Sweat, we talked about him last week when we broke down defensive linemen. He got a DUI. Was it 2 weeks ago? Something like that. We didn't bring it up when we talked
It was
about him.
last, it was no, it's just not too long. It was only a few days ago, I believe, wasn't it?
Oh,
Was
really?
Sweat?
Yeah, I thought it was longer than that.
No, I don't think it was. If it was, then it just didn't get reported for some time because.
But regardless, I don't know how you do that. This close to the draft, and we brought this up before the show, and you said, and rightfully so, that the NFL cannot punish him. He's not part of the NFL, so they cannot hand down any punishments. And I said, well, the teams can by not drafting him, because you don't need a guy that makes poor choices. I mean, think about just last year, Jalen Carter. Now, granted, he still went, what, number 10? Eagles traded it up to 10 to get him or something like that. But he could have went 2 overall. I mean, he was one of the best talents in the entire draft last year, and he dropped,
It was
down to
nine,
10.
wasn't it?
So,
Didn't they get him at nine?
something like that.
Yeah.
But,
But
man,
did he
but
actually
T'Vondre Sweat
do
is not
something, though,
Jalen
or is
Carter.
just his character in general was in question?
Well, remember, he was doing the racing thing. Remember, he got in trouble for racing and
Yes,
then
that was
left.
it. And he got
Yeah.
out, yes, and
He'll be
pretended that he
good.
wasn't even in the cars and all this jazz. Yes, okay.
Why are we racing cars on the street so much? I don't get it.
I guess because they can, they get away with it.
It makes so little sense to me. I tell you what, I went through and I looked at all the teams and their draft capital that they have. And we got some teams with a lot of picks, man. Arizona, 11 picks. They have 6 in the top 100. And then they got an extra one at 104. So they have 7 picks in the top 104.
Which
Now that's
again
like,
leads to my theory that we're going to see a lot of trades here that aren't expected right now.
I'm sure. I mean, Arizona could easily, they already have 2 first round picks, 4 and 27. They could easily get back up in the first round if they wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
And they got 35, 66, 71, 90. I mean, they can move those picks around.
No doubt.
They said Buffalo has sort of the opposite problem, where they also have 11 picks, but only 2 of them are in the top 125, 28, 60, and then they don't pick until 128. Cincinnati, they got 4 picks in the top 100. You got to think they're going to use one of those on a receiver. I mean, you get the deep class. They're picking at 18. I doubt over they're taking a receiver there. They could, obviously, but 49 seems like a prime spot for a wide receiver in
Who do
this
you
year's
think's
draft.
take who is this?
Cincinnati.
Do you
Because
think they're
they
going to
just have,
take a receiver that early when they still have Chase and Higgins?
they only have Higgins for the year, though, because he's just a franchise tag.
No, he didn't. I thought he ended up then signing a deal.
He's the only one, I think, that hasn't of all the players that got franchise tagged. I could be wrong there, but I think he's the only one
You
that
might be, you
hasn't.
might be right. And their plans, blah blah blah. Yeah, I guess I think you're right. I guess they didn't. Yeah,
Now,
he's.
Green Bay, they surprised some people last year, I think, with how successful they were. They also have 11 picks, and five of them are in the top 100, 25, 41, 58, 88, and 91. They can make some noise if they want to. I don't think Green Bay's, they're not very famous for moving up in the draft. But with this young, didn't they have the youngest team in the NFL last year?
I believe so, yeah.
If not, it was, they were top three, I believe. And they're, that should stick around, but they have talent, man. They got some good talent there. The Rams, the team notorious for not having any picks, they also have 11 picks, four in the top 100. So I'm interested to see what they decide to do there. What else we got here?
I saw that. Who what was it? What? Oh no, I
Yeah.
saw today that is it Jaden Daniels who said he's hoping that the Washington doesn't draft him because his meeting went with them did not go well, went horribly.
Oh, I didn't see that, but I did see that he's met or is going to meet with 30 NFL teams,
Yeah.
30 of the 32. I don't know what that says, if anything.
Who knows? It says that maybe there's a lot of chatter about people trading up for him and him not wanting to go into Washington. I saw something like the Cardinals said, came out today and said to trade up to number four, they want three number one picks.
Well, it depends on where you're coming from.
What do you mean?
Who, oh, wait, who's, what did, repeat what you said?
Arizona was saying for the number four pick that to get for somebody to move up for that pick, they want that team's next three number one picks.
What depends? If it's New York Giants at six, that's a little unreasonable. But
Yeah.
if it's, maybe the Raiders at 13 or wherever they're at, that might make a little more sense.
Yeah, I'd
But
have a
with
hard time. Yeah, I guess, but I'd have a hard time doing my next three number ones just for this number one.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Washington, so you brought them up. They have six picks in the top 100. Two, obviously, 36 and 40 back-to-back second round picks. You can hop up in the first round easy with that. Plus 67, 78, and then 100 right on the dot.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of movement.
Yeah. I think I'm buying what you're selling a little bit more.
Yeah. Too
All right,
many
any
good players that are going to be out there staring at teams in the face that have really dire needs and can throw together a package between this year's picks, next year's picks to make teams offers they can't refuse.
All right, sir. Anything else from around the league, or anything else before we get in these running backs first?
No, I don't think there's really a whole lot going on. It's all Mr. Tom Brady saying that he would
Oh.
gladly come back to a contending team if they lose their quarterback in the second half of the year.
Can you tell me why? Let me tell you why that kills me. Because I have him in that SiriusXM Dynasty League. And I held him this year and was like, you know what? Finally, this offseason, I'm going to get to cut him. And now I can't cut him. I got to keep him. I have Stroud, so I'm good. I have Stafford, but I can't get rid of Tom Brady if he plans on coming back.
Pretty crazy.
Drives me nuts. All right, so incoming running backs this year's NFL draft prospects. There's no Bijan Robinson. There's no Saquon Barkley. There's no day one guys at all. No running back is going
It
to go
would
in the
be
first round.
any of them even going at like 31 or 32 would be a huger surprise than them going at what, eight last year.
Is huger a word?
Hugerist. Huge did
Okay.
it. Huge did it.
Okay.
I think
But
huger is a word. I don't think it'd be more huge.
I don't
Look
know.
it up. Yeah, comparative adjective, huger.
huger is a word?
Okay, I'm looking right now. If you're asking huge, the answer is no. We'd say more huge or most huge, more enormous, most massive. It
I
seems
like
to
most
be
massive.
some seems to be there is some ambiguity here.
You should go with most massive. All right.
Okay, it says it now. This says it doesn't have a plural form, so I don't know. Things have gotten crazy here.
This is riveting, riveting stuff. All right, put Webster away. Tell me if you agree here. This, the running backs, all of them, it feels like when you're in a fantasy draft and you get to like running back seven. So you're past McCaffrey, you're past Jonathan Taylor, you get to like running back seven, and it's like running back seven to 14 are all the same guy.
Yep, that's
You could
this.
draft them in any order. It doesn't really matter. That's
Yeah, it's
how
really
this
boring here.
last.
And I think they'll go in a bunch too. I think once one or two go, there will be a quick little run on them, and then there won't be another one drafted until the fifth round.
Yes. Okay. I'm glad you said that because in my notes, I wrote, will NFL teams play chicken for the first one? So they know there's a group of them that are talented, but no one over the top. So are these teams going to wait and wait? Like, mid second round gets here and it's like, no running backs have gone. Am I going to take one? Nah, go somewhere else. I mean, these guys could end up falling pretty far.
I think we're getting to a point too between college football, the media, GMs, coaches, that it's starting to put it's going to be hard pressed in the future, excuse me, for any running back to go in the first round. Because they're
Yeah.
getting to the point that it's almost like they're intentionally undervaluing even more just so they all fall to the second round. Like you would have to do something in college that's just so ridiculous now. Because teams just don't want to waste it because they know they don't have to because they know the drop off. They know they may not succeed. Half of them are only going to play first and second or third down. And why value them higher than you need to? Of
Yeah, and there are quite a few teams that could use a running back.
course, there's always are. There always are.
Cardinals, the Chargers, the Giants now, they could use a running back. Lots of squads. So I don't know. We'll have to see how this pans out. All right. So who's your RB1? Mine's different. I don't think anyone's RB. I don't think I have the same RB1 as anyone else.
I just kept Jonathan Brooks there. He seems to be the best. He's fast. He's big. He's got breakaway speed. He seems to play faster than he actually even is. I just watching these guys, again, none of them stand out to me like Saquon, like you mentioned earlier. But to me, he's clearly the best. And I'd be highly surprised if he's not the first one taken.
You're probably see. Well, I don't know. I don't want to say I'd be surprised, but I did like his patience behind the line. He was a willing enough blocker. He picked up the blitz pretty well from the games that I watched. He's not the strongest or the fastest guy, but he does drive through contact. You're not going to knock him backwards too often. He's recovering from an ACL. He went 187, 1,100 and almost 40 yards and 10 scores this year. 6'2", 216. So he's got good size. As long as he comes back. Who is he, though? I mean, in the NFL, is he Devin Singletary?
I don't
I mean,
know.
I know. Right. It's not that exciting.
Who
He's
knows?
my RB3 in this class.
Okay. Then who's yours?
Who's your two? Oh, my number one. Dude, I'll be honest. Of all the tape I watched, my favorite guy to watch was Marshawn Lloyd from USC, Caleb Williams running back. He's big. Well, he's thick, I should say. He's, per our conversation last podcast, he is non-slight. 5'9", 220,
I
still
didn't
ran a
know that.
4.46. He had the third best bench, so he's big, he's strong, he's fast, especially for his size. Not a ton of production, 820 yards and nine scores. He's got 34 catches in his career, so he can definitely catch the ball out of the backfield. He moved awesome at the combine, and I thought he looked great. He lets his blocks develop when he's got the ball. He can turn it on, so you see him like stutter step for a second in the backfield, and then he'll get there and bang, he is through it. And he uses his change of speed to set up missed tackles, so he can set up the defense, which I like. And he had a jump cut I saw a few times, which was nice.
So you
But
say he's your one.
yeah, I liked him a lot.
Where do you think he'll go?
Oh,
Early
anywhere.
third round?
Yeah, probably. If I had to guess.
Okay.
Because not everyone sees him like I do, obviously. Who's
No, they
your
don't. They don't.
yeah, where do you have him?
I had him at sixth. But again, dude, like two through seven or eight. Just crapshoot with this.
I watched eight running backs and one through six you could put in any order and I'd be like, oh, I see it.
You have no idea what these scouts are going to think, what they want out of these guys. They're all very, just very, very similar in their overall, more or less skill sets, their size, their speed. Estime is pretty much the only one of the top eight that's really different than the others.
Yeah, but he's only different, I feel like, because he's slower.
Well, I'm not saying that's not why. He is most definitely slower, though. I don't think he plays at that slow of a speed, but he's definitely bigger. It's a different thing.
He's 221, but he weighed in at 5'11", 221 is what I saw at the combine.
He's not huge, but he is bigger than the other ones, except for Braylon Allen. But I mean, he is bigger than them.
We might as well talk about him since we're on him now. He's my RB seven, I think.
That's what I have him at seven,
I
also.
will say he looks enormous on
He
tape. I
does.
expected him to be about 235, honestly. And maybe he was. Maybe he cut weight for the combine, which, I mean, good for him, except you still ran a 4.71. I know he picked up the pace a little bit at his pro day, but oh, that's a tough number to look past.
It is, but again, they're just numbers. They
Right.
mean something, but not enough to.
He is explosive.
Yeah, it's not
He
like
hit
it's a 5.71. Then there'd be an issue here.
right.
When you and I talked for the show, I see that what I compare him to is he looks in college what AJ Dillon should have become in the NFL. This big bruising dude is just going to hurt you, but also he can run, but. AJ Dillon looked great for 2 years and it's just completely dropped off the table. So we hope he doesn't have his career arc.
I mean, he had a 38-inch vertical, and you got film on him when he's hurdling guys on the field. Great hands too. I my comp on him. You ever play video games, like when you were younger, Mario Kart?
Yeah.
My comp to him is Bowser. Remember Bowser?
Yeah, I do
It's like
remember
real
Bowser.
slow
Sounds
off the
familiar.
line, man. But
Yeah.
once he got going, you were all right.
Right. Okay.
It reminds me of Bowser from Mario Kart.
I would pick somebody bigger for Bowser, like Ron Dane, somebody like that. But I can
Okay.
see at least I know where you're coming from here.
Yeah, I mean, where's he going? Fifth round?
I don't know. Like a lot of the comps I see have any of these guys going from, aside from Jonathan Brooks. Actually, really, even him, like late second round to early fourth round, any of these like top eight guys could go, and nobody knows what order.
Is
I
your
don't even know if any of these guys, I don't know if a single one of these guys will be a team starting running back on day one next year.
well, Dallas, if Dallas gets one of these guys, it could be them.
We might hear that's simply by default. My mom
Right.
might be their starting tailback if she is. If all that's left is Rico Dowdle.
Yeah. He got Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah,
5 foot five, buddy. Give him the rock.
he didn't pan out.
I mean, Dallas is picking at 56 and 87. Those are two prime spots. They could get
Yeah,
one of
they can
these
get one
guys.
of them.
Is Trey Benson your number two? Everyone loves him.
I had him at four.
Oh, good. Okay, we won't talk about him yet
It's
then. I
funny
because I
that
don't.
I put two through four as interchangeable. Jalen Wright, Blake Corum, Trey Benson, I'd put them interchangeable as in like I don't care. It's like boxing the trifecta. 2-3-4, 2-4-3, 3-2-4, whatever order they happen to come out is the order they come out.
So, Jalen Wright, you're running back too?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about
Fast.
him. He's my four, actually. Wait, hold on. No, he's my five. But again, they're too close to even really worry about. Well, let me hear what you like about him.
There's really only one thing watching film. He's the one guy, I think, in this class that has the true breakaway speed that will even be able to outrun NFL corners. If he gets through, he's gone. That's really the only thing that I thought put him ahead of three and four is simply faster game speed.
And I can buy that because, him and Trey Benson ran the same 40 time, but they are not the same speed on the field.
Right.
Jalen Wright ran a 4.38, and he looks and plays like he runs a 4.3.
He
Trey
does.
Benson, I did not see that on the field in his film. And Jalen Wright, I mean, he was decent in pass pro when they made him do it. The thing that got me kind of knocked him some is he's a little hesitant behind the line sometimes, trying to find a hole, and then the defense, bottles him up. And he ends up with no gain. He needs to go, because he can obviously go. But he needs to get after a little bit more. And he's got no problems bouncing at the outside when he has to, but that makes sense because
And
he's got some
he's
stability.
semi stocky too. He's only 5'10". But he's 210 pounds.
Yeah, and that's a great size.
Yeah.
5'10". Yeah, that's a great size. And he had, what'd he have? 1,000 yards, 14 touchdowns, something like that.
Along those lines, yeah. He looks good. What the thing is, this is these like top eight guys, one of them is gonna be a superstar in the league. I just if you ask me
Ooh,
to bet my
yeah.
house on which one it's gonna be, I have no freaking clue. Literally, I have no idea which one of them it might be.
Yeah, I mean, well, you got to think another Tennessee running back that you never would have bet your money on was Alvin Kamara
Yeah.
coming out. I mean, he had a slow 40, if memory serves me right, like a four. Did
He
he run a
wasn't even
four
a guy anybody
six,
was
four five
talking
five?
about when he came out.
Right. We wouldn't even watched him. We wouldn't even be talking about
No,
him on this
he
episode.
wouldn't have even thought about it, but apparently Sean Payton knew what he was doing, and boom, guy ended up for about what 4 or 5 year span there, top three running back in the league.
Dude,
You and
he
I
was
played him in
great.
the once and done the year. He had 6 touchdowns on Christmas Day.
Yeah, buddy. He was great for fantasy this year.
Oh
I mean,
yeah,
he was
so many
catching nine
catches.
balls a game,
Yeah.
buddy. It's awesome. So my running back two is a little bit boring, but he's more of your prototypical back, and that's Blake Corum from Michigan. 5'8", 205. So not a lot of size on him, but even still, when Michigan needed 3 yards, they gave him the ball. They got down to the goal line, they gave him the ball. I mean, constantly.
Yeah.
First down, didn't get it, give it to him. Second down, didn't get it, give it to him. Third down. And dude, eventually he got it. He scored 18 touchdowns last year. I'm sorry, 2 years ago. He scored 27 touchdowns this year. He caught 56 balls in his college career. And he played a good bit, right? He had about 250 carries 2 years in a row, almost 1,500 yards 2 years ago, 1,200 this year. I mean, this dude, he's just an all-around good back. And as I'm watching his film, I start getting this pump in my head. And I thought, you know what? I'm gonna look up the guy I was thinking of who I was higher on 2 years ago coming out than most. And I looked at, was it Lance Zierlein, I think, how he broke down these players, Blake Corum and this other guy. And it was so similar. And I'm gonna paraphrase what he said about both of them. He can carry the workload good inside the tackles, enough sidestep and wiggle, competent at catching out of the backfield, no problem in pass pro, not as great in the second level, not extremely explosive. Okay? And those were basically the same person. He was talking about Blake Corum, and he was talking about Kyron Williams. Kyron Williams had the same breakdown. And if you remember, Kyron was my running back four or five that 1 year when he was kind of forgotten about. And dude, you saw what happened with Kyron this year. I mean, that guy was an absolute monster. Corum is heavier, faster, and more explosive with his testing numbers than Kyron was. So just an interesting comp that I was thinking in my head. And then when I looked it up, I was like, oh, you know what? There's some truth to this.
I think this group, again, we preach this all the time. So much of this is simply going to be where they go.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's
Like,
going,
not
I
by
mean,
where is in the draft, but like what team they go to.
Blake Corum is going in the second round to the Chargers, right? Jim Harbaugh's going to get his guy.
It would make perfect sense. He came out, I'm sure you read yesterday, and said, this is going to be a running team. I bet Justin Herbert loved hearing that.
Said it 7 times. He can't
Yeah.
stop saying it.
Yeah.
Anytime someone gives him a mic, he's like, I can't wait to run the football.
Yeah, and that's another thing, of Corum, that it boosts his whole pedigree here, is that he did play for Michigan. We said it last week. He knows how to play a pro style offense. He's just going to
He
fit right in.
dominated.
What's that?
And he dominated.
No, he most
It's not like
definitely
he
was that.
played for Michigan and was just mediocre.
Right. Yeah. You know, when you have the national championship team undefeated, you're obviously going to be pretty good anyway. But then his numbers just well surpass that, above and beyond.
I'll tell you a guy that I liked, I think, more than other people do. And it's kind of weird because he's a smaller back, but my running back four is Bucky Irvin
I have it five.
out of Oregon.
But he's
Five
another one that I
nine,
really hope doesn't
190.
get pegged into a third down role from the day he gets drafted.
The problem is the guy had 95 career catches, 56 of them, most in college football, happened last year. I mean, they're going to look at these stats. Now, granted, he had, 1,000 yards 2 years ago. He had almost 1,200 last year, 11 touchdowns. The dude can run. I understand he's smaller, but that's the problem, right? He's under 200 pounds. He can catch the ball like a wide receiver. he didn't test, his numbers are not great. 4.55 40, which was wild because he's way faster than that on film, I thought. But 29 and a half inch vertical, man, there's offensive linemen beating that. So that's not great. But he's quick, he's shifty, and dude, he gets the most out of every run. He doesn't leave anything on the field. It runs through contact. Arm tackles aren't going to bring him down, even though he's a little bit of a smaller guy. I don't know, man. I liked it. I thought he played much bigger than his
You
size.
think he's a James Cookish type that they actually give him a chance that he could excel? Because Cook,
Well,
what we worried was they were going to peg him into that hole, and at first they did. He ended up starting eventually just by default because everybody else was hurt. Then they realized, oh boy, we actually have something here. We should have listened to Bobby and Kevin from the start. But could you see something like that happen where he goes into a situation where he has to start and maybe gets a chance to excel?
I would like that. James Cook ran a 4.42. I mean, that's a lot faster than a 4.55.
It is.
But yes, similar playing styles, I would say. I mean, similar players.
Dude, the NFL, we know it's all, we talked last week, it's all about first downs, and they love any of these backs that can catch. Can actually run a decent route and catch. You need that 7 yards. There it is.
Little arrow route, man. That's my favorite play in Madden back in the day. Get
Nice.
yourself, I'd be the Eagles, get LeSean McCoy or something, have him run that little out and over by the linebacker. Man, it didn't matter if it was man coverage, zone coverage, every time, buddy. All right. Do you have anyone that we haven't talked about above Trey Benson?
I don't have them, nobody above him, because Trey
We
Benson,
talked about them all.
again, could be one of the ones that he might be the one that's the beast of all these. He might have the best career of all of them.
There are a lot of folks out there doing what we're doing who love Trey Benson, and I just didn't see
I
it. So keep
saw a
it that way.
couple just today, just last minute looking at stuff. He's ranked number one by some guys.
Right. So, I mean, tell me what I'm missing.
And I don't think we're missing anything. I think that, again, these guys are all very interchangeable. He's ridiculously fast. He's relatively big. And he dominated. What's not to like?
Well, I already mentioned, and I have in my notes, I said he can cut and go, but I'm not sure his 4.39 speed is on display all the time.
It's not, because I actually read one place where they're concerned of as fast as he is, that he sometimes gets caught from behind.
Yeah, and I didn't see that he played with a lot of power either. I mean, I'm watching Bucky Irving run through dudes, and I'm seeing Trey Benson just kind of run into guys, and then they all fall down. Now he's going forward. I get it. But I don't know, man. I just, nothing excited me. I'm sitting there watching, and he can read blocks. That was one thing I did notice about him. But I'm watching this, his plays, even his highlight film. And I think, okay, could any of these other running backs make that play? Yeah, I think they
Yes.
all could. You know, I don't, he just didn't do anything that really jumped out at me that I thought was great. Plus, he had a terrible knee injury. Was it 2, 3 years ago? Something that some
Yeah.
people thought he wasn't even going to come back from. He did, right? So, you know, no way to know if that's gone forever or if it'll come back to bite him.
Yeah. Well, the only one I thought worth talking about, the only other one's Braylon Allen, just because of his size.
Monster.
Yeah, 6'1", 235, and still ran a 4.4. That's a
Yeah.
bruise. That's a
Yeah.
brute there.
Yeah. He runs a bit upright, like, you know,
He
when you're
does.
that big,
He looks
it's tough
like,
to throw your shoulder.
yeah,
Derrick Henry runs
he looks like
upright.
Ron Dayne, Brandon Jacobs.
He had 3,500 yards in 3 years. And he's super young too. He's only 20.
What's with all these monster backs coming out of Wisconsin?
It's what they do. That's all they want. You have to be, at least have the frame to be
Yeah.
over 220 to run the ball in
So my
Wisconsin.
only fear with him is, again, he's going to go in the NFL, and next thing you know, he has one bad offseason. He's 255, and that's the end of your career.
The thing with him though is, felt like he'd be patient to let his blocks set up, and then you'd see the hole, and you'd see him see it. And you'd see him, his mind tell his legs, go, go, go. But it was like he was in sand, like running on the
Yeah.
beach. He just can't,
Getting
he can't
started.
get it going.
Thing is,
Right.
once he does get it going, if I'm a freaking defensive back,
Making
boy,
a
I don't
business
want to
decision.
stand. I don't know if I want to stand in front of that.
I'll tell you one thing that was cool. I just saw a photo of him, and I think it was maybe him himself that tweeted it out. But he was standing, and it was somebody in the middle, and Derrick Henry was over there. It's like the three of them standing together, and it was like, I'm usually the biggest guy in the room, but
Say,
gosh, this Derrick Henry.
was he bigger? Did he look bigger at least?
Than Henry?
Yeah.
Henry looks like his dad. Like
Okay.
he's like they're going fishing together and he's
Gotcha.
just got like this little tyke next to him. Derrick Henry is he's frightening, man. Absolutely frightening.
I'm still
I'll
so
see
in
if I
love
can
with
find
him.
that. Yeah, I'll see if I can find the picture and send it to
I
you.
hope this Ravens thing works out.
Of course you do. All right, you ready to move on to tight end?
Dude, why'd you have to steal my thunder? When you were
I'm
going to say tight ends, I was going to say you mean tight end.
I
You
don't know.
stole my
Sorry.
freaking thunder. Damn it.
That was not on purpose. Yeah, it's Brock Bowers.
Wrong.
There's nothing to say about him, right? He's athletic. He's big. He seeks contact.
Yeah, he's not going to sneak up on anybody's draft board here. He's going to be top 10. It's just the way it is. It's just a matter of who.
I found his film to be interesting simply because if you watch his highlight film, he can do absolutely everything. There's no doubt about it. He can run, he can jump, he can catch, he can run you over, he can block. Everything you need to see is on the highlight film. Like there are guys you watch, and it's like Bucky Irving. He's got a lot of good stuff on his highlight film. He's not rucking guys, right? He's not blowing dudes up. He's not stiff arming somebody like Derrick Henry we talked about. There's stuff that's missing. There's nothing missing. Brock Bowers highlight film. I watched full games like I always do, and there were current plays. I don't know if he just took them off or I don't know. I didn't watch him every single play and think, boy, this is a top three, four talent in the draft. That's just me. I'm literally probably the only human being on earth. But watching him every single play, several games in a row, it's all there. He has everything you could ever possibly want.
Yeah,
I just
dude.
didn't see it on every single play.
We just have to hope he goes to a team that'll actually utilize him and not just waste him like Atlanta has done with Pitts for the
Oh,
last 3 years.
but listen, old Kirky's there to save the day.
Oh,
Is Pitt's fourth or fifth year?
fourth?
What a waste.
It
What a
sure has been. We got to look at that because now I don't know.
I did not watch any other film from tight ends. The only one that I even thought about watching was Theo Johnson from Penn State, just because he's big and athletic and everyone comps him to Jimmy Graham, which is fun. But honestly, I didn't hit play.
Likewise.
I typed in his name on YouTube and I had the film there. I just couldn't click it. No
You're not
point.
alone, dude. I didn't watch anything because it's not really any real reason to watch a guy who will be very fortunate to go in the top 3 rounds. I mean, he's most likely all these other tight ends. I'm sure one will slip into day two, but
Yeah, there'll
maybe
be, yeah.
not.
And it could be him. Who
It
knows?
could.
All
I'm
right,
looking
you
up
ready to
what
move on to
happens.
offensive linemen?
Oh, yes. I'm so excited about that.
I know how much you love them.
Oh, yeah.
Defensive linemen and offensive linemen, watching them on game film, I know gets you revved up in all kinds of ways.
Fired up. I can't. I got like YouTube set up. I got four screens here. I got somebody pushing somebody or falling over on somebody on
Shut
all
up.
four screens. It's
Just
just
stop.
amazing. So
Oh,
fun.
man. Me, on the other hand, I
This
actually
is
do get
his,
excited.
this will be his fourth year, by the way.
Okay. I do
21
get
was his
excited.
first. Kyle
The
Pitts.
offensive line and defensive line are the most important parts of a
They
team.
are. There's no doubt. I will never in a million years debate that. But watching film of it is like watching paint dry and grass grow. It's
I
just,
love it.
it's awful. It's just so awful.
Very deep class offensive linemen, much like the wide receivers, but also much like the wide receivers, at least they have three guys. Once you get past the top three, there's no telling what you got. Offensive tackles, once you get past Joe Alt, who is, I haven't seen too many people don't have him as number one. The next six or seven guys, again, could be in absolutely any order. And I think because we have so many positions like this, the wide receivers, after you get past the big three, the running backs, the offensive linemen, I feel like that puts some more credence, even the defensive backs, the corners, and the edge players. There's so much variation in the order that people have these guys listed. I think it gives credence to you and your, I think there's going to be a ton of trades thing.
Yeah, people, because there's so much depth, it allows you to trade because you know you can get somebody later that will fall into your lap, like you say, the Ravens always get. But it's also going to make with all these picks and specific needs and so many guys that so teams will trade up anyway. It's just, I think it's going to be an exciting draft. Not too many really marquee players, but going to be an exciting draft. There's a chance that there could be 14 between receivers and offensive line, like 14 go in the first freaking round. It could happen and wouldn't surprise
Oh,
me if it did.
ooh, that'd be a lot. But yeah, I mean, almost half the first round
Because there's
with
not a whole
offensive
bunch of
linemen.
exciting other players. Once you get past the first three quarterbacks, after that, there's no, and Marvin Harrison and Neighbors, there's nothing that exciting afterwards. I don't know. I'm just excited for the draft this year. Usually I'm not, because usually I go into thinking, God, this is going to be boring. But now I'm actually starting to think this one's going to be crazy just because of the depth and lack of super, super top end guys.
I like it. I like when you're excited.
Thank you.
All right, Joe Alt, 6'9", 321.
He's a frightening individual.
Yes. And he's got quick feet too, man. He's got good feet. They're quick. He gets to the second level with ease. He's very patient in his pass sets. Twists, stunts don't seem to bother him at all. He's got good pad level, especially in the run game. I mean, I don't have the only negative thing I saw. Was if you're going to get him, it's probably with the bull rush. I think you could use a little help anchoring. Maybe that's a weight room thing. Maybe it's just a little coaching thing here or there. But I mean, he flips his hips easily to gain leverage. He eliminates angles from the rushers. Everything I watched about him, I liked.
So, San
Highest one.
Diego, Tennessee, Atlanta.
Hey, first off, before we say anything else, you deserve credit for saying San Diego. For saying San Diego, because
Did it
that's what you do
again.
every time. So I just want to cheer. Good for you.
Damn it.
You stayed the course, Kevin.
I wish they would
Stayed the
just go
course.
back. Do me justice, people. Okay, so Chargers, Giants, Titans, Falcons. He's going somewhere in there. I can't imagine going top four.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he's. If he gets out of the first seven picks, I would be very shocked.
I could see up through eight, but he's definitely not making it to nine. But boy, would that fall in the Bears' laps if he did.
Oh, Caleb, and then hit. Now we don't like Caleb, but they do. It's Caleb and
They
Joe
do.
Alt. Whew.
I
That'd be
think we
impressive.
need to be clear to people, though. Neither one of us thinks Caleb Williams is awful.
Great
Neither one of
at
us
playing.
thinks he's 100% going to be a total bomb. We just aren't nearly anywhere close as high on him as everybody else is because we feel he has some Gen Z, millennial, whatever issues that he needs to work through.
He had the mental makeup of Jalen Hurts, hands down number one quarterback.
Absolutely.
Super excited to see what he has to offer, but
Yeah.
he's not made up that way.
I wonder what's going to happen when he shows up to training camp with his nails painted pink.
Yeah, right.
And
I
we're not
mean,
judging, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I just don't know how this whole thing is going to go in a locker room of 90 alpha males. Call it what you will. I don't care if it's the 21st century. I'm just really wondering how this whole I'm a little spoiled child in the cereal aisle routine is going to work in that locker room.
I'm with you, man. Number two for me for the longest time was Olu Fashanu from Penn State, but I had to flip it with Talise Fuaga from Oregon State, 6'6", 324, hit a 32-inch vertical, which I thought was nice. He's a right tackle for them. He could probably play both. He's very powerful, but he can run. He can get to linebackers. He's mean, which I like in an offensive lineman. Great at hand fighting. I saw him use one arm a lot. Like on a pass rush, guy comes in, he just uses one arm. I don't know if that was because he could or because he was lazy. I don't know. Kind of was just the only guy I saw doing that the past couple years of breaking down film. But he doesn't always finish his plays. So, two things I love from offensive linemen. I want you to be mean and nasty, and I want you to finish your plays. No, he's not. But he can pull. PFF had him as the number one run blocking grade of any of the offensive tackles. And the thing that I enjoyed watching, he played well against Leiatu Latu, and I love that dude. And Fuaga held his own against him. And I thought his pad level got a little too high at times, but this dude can play, man.
Good. Where do you put Latham then at four?
Latham, he's lower for me.
Really?
Olufashanu is my number three. Fatanu is four, and Latham I have at five.
Okay.
You want to talk
Fair enough.
about Latham? You high
What's
on him?
that?
You want to talk about Latham next?
You can. I don't have much to say about him because he's an offensive lineman.
I gotcha. Well, he's big, he's strong, he's a people mover. He's slower than some of these other guys.
He's a big boy.
Yeah,
He played at Alabama.
I thought he had trouble finding guys in space. Like once he got into space, it's like, I mean, you see Fuaga, he knows where he's at. He's a ballistic missile and he's gonna take somebody out. But Latham's kind of like looking around, like, where do I go? Over here? Nah, maybe over here. He lunges at times at blockers, which obviously that's gonna get you in trouble, especially at the next level. And I don't know, I think his speed I got a little too hung up on. He didn't play with a lot of a sense of urgency on the field, I didn't think. But he had good pad level, especially for his size. His hips were okay. Good lateral mobility to widen the pocket was nice. But a lot of folks are really high on him, and I'm not. I mean, and everything I've heard, our NFL team, he's a top 15 pick. I didn't see that, but I'm not the one making these picks.
Yeah, I've seen things that haven't ranked as high as the number two there. So,
I think Mel Kiper Jr. might have him at two. I think he's a Kiper's real big on him.
cool.
Yeah, for me though, I liked Olufashanu a lot more. 6'6", 312. He had, I don't know if this means anything, but like the tiniest hands maybe ever at the combine
Do you
for an
smell like
offensive tackle.
cabbage?
I don't know, Kevin. I'm not sure. But this guy, he had great hips, swiveling around, get leverage. He's of the guys we've talked about, or at least my top two, Fuaga and Alt. He's the rawest one of the three. I think he's got a high ceiling. He had some interesting footwork. It was like when he did his drop step, there was like a little sidestep with it too. But he's a smooth mover, so it didn't affect him at all. I mean, he was obviously very, very talented. He definitely plays to the whistle. Unlike Latham, he always finds someone to hit. If he gets his paws on you, man, it's over. So, I liked him a lot. He was my number two for a while, and then I just really liked Fuaga's film, so I made the flip there.
Very good. How many do you think of those guys will go in the first round?
Everyone we've talked about, and the next guy we talk about as well. My number four is Troy Fatanu from Washington. Well, I tell you what, man, Washington, I feel like has come out of nowhere with a ton of NFL level talent. I mean, they've always had a couple guys, defensive backs especially.
And
But
what conference are they going to be in now? Like the SEC or the
I don't
Big
even know.
12?
Who knows anymore, man?
Anything that has nothing to do with the West Coast.
It's whatever. This co I don't understand the whole college stuff. They got that all mixed
Falling to
up.
pieces, and your boy Florio loves it.
6'4", 317. Everyone expected him to have short arms. He had 34 and a half inch arms, so he's good to go there. A lot of NFL folks, again, we just talked about Mel Kiper. He is all about length. Make sure you're long enough, get leverage, but he was fine. A lot of folks have him projected as a guard at the NFL level, which is great because he's already shown that he can be a talented tackle. So if you have him projected as a guard, you know he can play at least four spots along your line right there. Right. We can do tackle. We can do guard. That for me, I love versatility. That's a big plus for me.
Sure.
His play strength, I thought, was a little lacking. Maybe he had a solid punch, but I feel like he could use a little bit in the weight room. His feet were awesome, very mobile, no problem pulling. And if you do consider him a guard, he's right up there as maybe the best guard in the class. Him or another guy we'll talk about here in a little bit.
Let me ask you a question, because I've seen Graham Barton play in some circles as a tackle. others saying he's going to play center in the NFL.
I've seen most have him in the interior, which is why I haven't brought him up yet. I figure we'll do the interior after the tackles.
I've seen mock drafts to have him going above Powers Johnson as the first center taken.
He has five. We just talked about Fatanu at least playing four positions. Graham Barton can probably play all five.
So do you think he'll be drafted to anchor somebody's line? He
Graham Barton's going in the top 20 picks, I guarantee you.
I want to check out the Vegas odds on that. You think,
Should.
okay, so obviously that's primarily because of versatility, but where do you
Potential.
think this team is in the top 20? That it where what team is it, and what are they going to play him at?
I mean, it just depends on what team he goes to,
That's why I
but
asked you, what team do you think he's going to, and what
I
will
mean,
he play?
all right, so
These
let's
things
see. I
usually go through your head very quickly.
I'm so all right, so I said top 20. Pittsburgh could easily take him. Rams,
They play him at what position?
Bengals for sure. Bengals need help, double spots on their offensive line. I'd have to bring out depth charts to actually look at it. But I know Seahawks, they need help on the interior.
The
I
thing
think
is,
they.
we both know the worst thing any NFL team could do is bring him in and expect him to play three positions. So, what do you think if Cincinnati snags him at 18? What are they, what for what? What position?
Well, what about the Saints? Trevor Penning has not been good. He could go right in and go left tackle if they wanted him to. Now, again, I think, at least from what I'm hearing, Graham Barton's been going as a interior offensive lineman. But you said you saw him going, oh, you said center.
I have him seen in numerous places being drafted as a center.
Yep. I'd have to look up some depth charts, but I'm telling you, top 20 picks for him for
As
sure.
soon as I saw that smile on your face about a guy you were going to bring up, I knew that's who you're talking about. That's why I brought him up, because he's all over the board, depending on what position whatever random draft simulator is, it has him pegged at.
So the Bengals could play him as of right now. They're good on tackles. They got Orlando Brown and Trent Brown.
Yeah,
But
that's pretty
I
good.
think Trent Brown's a one-year deal. I think Alex Kappa, the right guard, this is his last year. Ted Karras, the center, it's his last year.
Okay.
So this could be, I mean, Cordell Volson, I'll be honest, I'm not too familiar with him, the left guard. But there could be a situation where Graham Barton comes in left guard right away or sits for a
Yeah.
year, comes in for
Right
guys
before
leaving.
we started, I did another mock draft, just one last one, just for fun, see if anything would really change much. Once again, I got Kool-Aid at 30 for the Ravens. But Graham Barton went 21 to the Dolphins.
All right, yeah, oh man, I just missed my top 20.
Yeah.
So since we're on him, smart, versatile. I said he could play anywhere up front. You notice he didn't drop. He didn't like really drop in his pass sets at times, but that could be like coaching. He's going up against a player he knows, you know, the defensive end, the edge isn't hitting him with a lot of speed. He doesn't need to drop real quick. He's very strong once he's engaged in a block. He plays to the whistle. I wrote, he's got some dog in him. I love him. He does whatever he needs to do to get the block. Man, he's like Joe Alt, but on the inside for me.
Okay.
There wasn't very much I did not like about him.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, at the NFL level, if you can play all those positions competently, that's the thing. You have to be intelligent, because they're all three
Oh,
played
yeah.
differently. If you can't, how valuable is it for a team like, what was the, how many offensive linemen did the Eagles go through last year? Like, imagine if you had that one guy that can stay healthy and can always fit in wherever you need.
Man, there was a t yes, c correct. There was a team. Well, and that's why Philly drafted Landon Dickerson, right? He came out both guards and center for sure he could play. But there was a team last year, something like, I was just listening about this the other day. I can't remember the team, but it was like by week three, both their guards were out
Was
for
it
the
the
season.
Giants?
You know what? It
I
may
know
have
the
been
Giants,
actually.
I think, saw had 11 different offensive linemen play last
Could have
year, something
been.
like that.
Oh yeah, so you get a versatile guy that's that smart and that talented that you can plug in anywhere. Man, You're cooking with fire, or you're cooking with peanut oil on that one. All right, Amarius Mims. Some people really like this
I've never
guy.
heard that analogy before. What does that mean?
Cooking with peanut oil. Isn't that
What does
what
that mean?
Duck Dynasty, the dad on Duck Dynasty used to say?
I don't know. I've never watched it.
Now we're cooking with peanut oil. I don't know what it means. I think it just means we're really cooking, buddy. I know that's the general idea.
Fair enough, I learned something today.
All right. 6'8", 340, 36-inch arms, and he had the largest hands at the combine. This physically, he was built to play offensive tackle. And he's athletic, but he only had 8 collegiate starts. 8. I
That's
was trying to
not
watch
very
film
many.
on him. I know. I kept going to Georgia to watch film on him. And I'm like, he's not in. Where is he? Go to a next game. Nope, he's not playing this one either. I will say when he's pass blocking, you could video him and be like, this is how you do it. This is your footwork. This is how you mirror. I mean, he looked really good pass blocking. The very limited amount of snaps I got to see. He's good at keeping defenders off of his body, obviously, when you have 36-inch arms. Gosh, man, what a monster.
He go play
Pretty good
left or
anchor.
right?
When he just he played right at Georgia,
I was going to
but
say, so usually somebody that's that sort of new to the game, not playing that much, it's rare you're going to see them on the left.
yeah. And see, that's interesting. That's another change we're seeing in the NFL, right? Stuff changes all the time, but the value of the right tackle. And I think, I mean, I don't think I'm being a homer here. I think the Eagles kind of started it when they drafted Lane Johnson. They had Jason Peters on the left. They drafted Lane Johnson, was at 4th overall, and made him the right tackle. And that's where he stayed. And he's dominant. And it's been a good,
Yeah.
a good concept. But Mims, he's got a lot of growing to do. He's got a good anchor when he decides, you know, it's time to hit that anchor and stop the push of the defender. But he's much more projection than he is what he is today, right? You're doing a projection on Mims, and you're doing a projection on the next guy I have, Tyler Guyton. And that kind of, especially with offensive linemen, I'm a little hesitant whenever we talk about projections because I want to know who you are now. I want a plug and play guy along the offensive line. Guyton, another 6'8 guy, not quite as heavy. He's 322. He had a 34 and a half inch vertical, though. Super athletic. He's from Oklahoma. He thought he was high in his stance. He again doesn't play to the whistle. He watches the play a lot, but he could pick up twists and things along the front. He's got a really good quick first step in his stance, but not for me, man. The
So,
projection on him, and he only had like 13 starts, I think. It's like 21 starts
yeah.
between both of them.
Well, in this very same mock I did right before we started, it's funny you're talking about these guys. Mims, 16th to the Seahawks. Guyton, 18th to the Bengals.
Yeah, that's hot. That's too high for me on a project.
But that seems to be the lead now, man. They're bringing in guys that nobody expects anything from, and they end up coming in and dominating. Maybe it's because they're easily coachable. They haven't done a lot, so they can come in and learn quick. No bad habits to break. It's like my tennis people. Sometimes I'd rather have somebody walk in off the street and never played, because I don't have to break any bad habits as somebody who taught themselves how to play for 2 years and comes in there pretending they're Rafael Nadal.
I actually felt like you with Amarius Mims. The last thing I wrote in my notes, I was a Kevin Reynolds quote. Could be the best lineman in the draft, could be out of the league in 4 years.
There you go. That's a lot of guys, isn't
Yeah. I also watched film on Jordan Morgan and Roger Rosengarten. I doubt they could go at the end of the first round, probably more into the second, beginning of the second, though, because they're good players. And Rosengarten was the right tackle in Washington. So they have both of their tackles coming out. Rosengarten had the fastest 40 at the combine for offensive tackles, 2 year starter. So I don't know. Both these guys can move, climb the second levels, no problem at all. But we'll see. We'll see where they end up going.
Okay. Any guards worth talking about to you?
Outside of Barton, the only other in interior lineman I had was Jackson Powers Johnson, which you briefly mentioned. Oregon, 6'3", 328, short arms, 32-inch arms. That's not ideal, but he is very active and he can move. I mean, he is always, I said he bounces around like a 300-pound Energizer bunny. He climbs no problem. People, I think in the beginning of the process, we're talking because he is so shifty and movie, like Jason Kelce, but
Dude, that's what I was just going to ask you.
they're
Jason
different players.
Kelce's not exactly the largest man in the world. Well,
Right, he's like
like,
300.
what's his reach? What's his numbers? I don't
Oh, that's a
know.
good. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but it's also he's a Hall of Fame player. So I'm
No, I'm
in
not saying this guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm saying coming out of college, wait, didn't Jason Kelce go in like the seventh round? Sixth or
it
seventh
was
round?
late. I think it was sixth.
Okay. So that's what I was saying. He wasn't. And he's not a big dude, but because he's so intelligent and the way he can move his weight around and do the things he does, maybe some of these guys can do it.
Did Jason Kelce even get invited to the combine?
I don't know. I've never really looked into that. I was reading some the other day, some like Hall of Fame
Yeah, he
freaking
went.
nose tackle, something like that, who said the only guy he hated playing in the NFL was Jason Kelce. He's like, that little bastard. He's like, he's running me around, hitting me this angle, hitting me that angle. I can't get by him. He looks like this little dude I'm just going to murder. And it's like, I can't do anything against how he owned me.
So we were right. Round six, pick 26. Jason Kelce at the combine was 6'3", 280.
So I'm saying he's not
No
a,
wonder he went so late.
just such an amazing player. Again, proving this isn't all about these physical, tangible things. If you're a
I love
football
looking.
player, you're a football player.
Listen to the first sentence of the overview on NFL.com. Kelce has the mobility and mentality to make it as a reserve center in the NFL. However, it does not have the size or power to project as a starter.
But may
They were right
well
at the
go
time.
down as the singular greatest center in history.
They were right at the time. You know?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. That's it for all offensive players. And we did defensive tackles already. So next show, we're going to do the defensive ends. The linebacker, maybe two, and then cornerbacks because there's really no safeties. Does that sound right?
That does sound right.
Awesome. You got
And then
anything else
after
to add to
that, the
this
next
one?
one we'll do a mock draft, correct?
Yes.
You taking
Mock
odds
draft.
or evens this year?
I don't know what to flip for it. We'll flip on camera so we don't know what's coming.
Fair enough.
Anything else for
We
you,
could
sir?
even do an old school. We could do a snake. Somebody gets first. Next one gets two, three. Next one gets four, five. Switch things
Oh,
up a little bit.
maybe we will. That sounds fun.
And make it that we must at least. I know you love to do it. We must throw it each in at least two
Two.
trades.
Yeah, at least two. All
Okay,
right.
then I'm going to start getting working on that because that'll be more. Pretty interesting. So
Awesome.
let's do it now. What can we do? We could do rock,
We have
paper,
two
scissors for
shows
it.
before we get there.
We
Two
could do rock,
shows.
paper, scissors for it. So I can start figuring out what I'm going to do. See, we need to know.
All right, I'm ready.
Just one out of one or two out of three?
Let's do one out of one, man. One and done.
Wait, rock, paper,
Rock, paper,
scissors, shoot.
scissors, shoot. We both did rock.
Rock,
Rock,
paper,
paper,
scissors,
scissors,
shoot.
shoot. Yeah, buddy. I got your paper.
Like 2 seconds
Yes.
behind me.
Yes.
Okay,
That
what
paper
do you
one.
want? You want one or do you want two, three?
I don't know. I
Come
want
on.
two, three.
You
One's
want two,
boring.
three? Okay. Are we doing this how we
Excited.
think they'll do it or what we want to do?
We can't do what we want to do because we won't be anywhere close to
But if
what
we
they
do what we
actually.
want to do, I know my first trade right now is the Bears trading out number
Yeah,
one.
right. Yeah. We'll do what we
To
think
tell
they'll do.
everybody right now, Caleb Williams will not be playing for the Bears.
We'll do what we think they're going to do.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, sir. Folks, thank you all for listening. Be sure to check us out Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Twitter as well. Get your Bell Rung Football Podcast. He's Kevin. I'm Bobby. See you all in a week.
See ya.